You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for unfiltered talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, let's get this out of the way off the top. Denver is just odd. The Rockies' mascot is a big purple dinosaur. The fourth inning races between a toothbrush, a tooth, and some floss. Cannabis is for sale legally at about every other corner. And games at Coors Field usually end with volleyball scores instead of baseball scores. All that stated, Tuesday was a really fun night in, as Will Ferrell said in Blades of Glory, Denver, the city by the bay. Three Red Sox home runs, three of them, including one from JBJ that almost broke StatCast. Rick Porcello pitched very well, and some Rocky Mountain dirty water at the end. 10-6, the happy final. We recap right about now.
It's your Daily Sox podcast. It's your Daily Sox podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your Daily Sox podcast. It's your Daily Sox podcast.
A brief two-game series, and here it was. The Red Sox, the best hitting team in baseball against the worst pitching team in baseball at a stadium that produces double-digit run totals on a very regular basis. Josh Lewin with you. We'll get right to it. Rick Porcello has been better of late, but he's still allowed the most runs in the American League, though he has somehow gone 11-10. Mid-5s ERA notwithstanding. Colorado would be countering with a rookie Rocky thrown to the Wolves. Poor Rico Garcia. This just seemed completely cruel to do it to this guy. A 30th round pick from Hawaii, okay? And he's being asked to get up there initially against Mookie Betts, Rafi Devers, Xander Bogaerts, and J.D. Martinez. Betts, reigning American League MVP, leading the major leagues in runs scored by 12. Rafael Devers leads the American League in extra base hits and a whole bunch of other cool stuff. Xander Bogaerts is second in extra base hits and has been hot of late. J.D. Martinez, last 31 games, a .392 batting average, OPS of about 1,220. That's the best in the major leagues, and that's a pretty good sample size. Oh, and then, if he gets past that, Mitch Moreland, who's 7 for his last 13. So, almost on cue, there was a run scored right away off Uncle Rico. And yes, we quoted from Napoleon Dynamite on the broadcast because Joe Castig is away. It was just me and Will Fleming. There were no camp counselors here to make sure that the kids wouldn't misbehave. So we got a little bit out of control on the broadcast, I admit. And this is after going full hog on Anchorman in San Diego. We somehow got on Napoleon Dynamite on Tuesday. But be that as it may, and we do hope you vote for Pedro, a 1-0 lead thanks to J.D. with an RBI bloop into right. And that's the beauty of Coors Field. You don't have to hit it 480 feet because there's so much distance between where the infielders play and the outfielders play. Just loop a ball beyond one of those infielders. You might get a double. J.D. had an RBI single, his 84th RBI of the year. That set up Jackie Bradley Jr. And you want to talk about an ambush. First pitch, he just destroyed it. The longest home run hit by a Red Sox in the StatCast era, which I know has only been 5 years, but still, 478 feet, 31-degree launch angle. I mean, this thing looked like it was in a video game. Xander Bogaerts would later hit a home run that was like the opposite. If you go on pure trajectory, the Jackie Bradley Jr. one looked like a St. Louis arch. Xander's looked like a plank. I mean, just a straight zip line drive just whistled over the wall in center. His 28th, it was Jackie Bradley's 17th. Christian Vasquez also hit a home run, his 19th of the year. So he's hitting a home run every 6 games this season. Before the season, it was once every 29 games. All that damage done against poor Rico Garcia, the one-time 30th round draft pick. It was 7 hits, 6 runs, 5 walks in his 5 innings. He only struck out 2, although one was Mookie Betts to lead off the ballgame, so he'll always have that. There was more carnage done later in the game by the Red Sox, but first let's talk about Rick Porcello. Yeah, he gave up 3 hits to Charlie Blackmon. Blackmon was due. He came in hitless in 4 consecutive games, first time since 2015 for him on something like that. Blackmon, the guy that looks like he just washed ashore on a raft, and comes up to the Josies on a Vacation Far Away walk-up music. I like that one. Sixth in the league in hitting, and you knew that was a matter of time that he'd break through. He went 3-for-3. But Porcello struck out Trevor Story twice. He had Ryan McMahon's number, and he was at a shutout through four innings. Very impressive stuff. He did wobble in the fifth, and actually in what was a 6-2 game at the time, it was second and third for Daniel Murphy, who's always been very good with runners in scoring position, 5-for-10 lifetime with a home run against Porcello. But a good sinker, good old-fashioned sinker from Rick, got him to ground out. It stayed 6-2, and that's where the Red Sox could kind of pile on after that to make it 8 wins in their last 11 games. It was a sloppy top of the 7th inning, 2 errors in the inning, and the Red Sox took full advantage. So they actually went out 10-2 and then started giving it away. Josh Smith giving up a pair of home runs. Nolan Arenado got him in the 9th. Before that, Sam Hilliard in the 8th. Got to tell you the Sam Hilliard story here real quick, because he was making his major league debut as well, starting in center field. And let's revisit that one, because let's think about this. Of the 9 players in the lineup, 2 of them were making their big league debuts for Colorado tonight. Just the 4th time in franchise history that had happened. The Red Sox, we went back and looked at it. The last time 2 Red Sox both made starts in a major league debut, you got to go back to 1975. Andy Merchant was the catcher that day. Steve Dillard had come up from Pawtucket to play second, and he would actually hang around for a few years backing up Denny Doyle and Butch Hobson and guys like that. But that's a long time, right, to not have 2 guys make their same night major league debuts. That's what the Rockies had to do in this one. One of them we mentioned was Rico Garcia, but the other one was this interesting cat by the name of Sam Hilliard, as in what in the Sam Hilliard. And he had this adventure in the outfield all night. He slipped and fell a couple times. He basically sat on a ball at one point and got an error for that. It was like he was trying to hatch the baseball. But this is also a guy, we found out, whose mom was Miss Texas in 1984. One of the runners-up to Vanessa Williams, who you may recall got naked in Playboy and had to forfeit her Miss America standing. So I think it was Miss New Jersey moved up. And anyway, his mom was in the running for all this as well. We thought that was the most interesting part of Sam Hilliard's night until he hit the 2-run home run. But Nolan Arenado's 2-run home run was the man who made it a little bit wonky in that 9th inning. You started to sweat a little bit. You had to go get Josh Taylor to finish it off. And, you know, if you give up a 2-run home run to Arenado, that's not the worst thing in the world, because this guy does a lot of that. He's got 34 homers now. 102 RBI is only 1 fewer than Mr. Devers, who is in a bit of a funk right now. He's 0 for his last 14. Did walk a couple times in this game and scored twice, and he made a really nice play defensively. But Devers needs to get it right heading to Anaheim for that showdown with Mike Trout. See who's the top dog there. As for Nolan Arenado, in this galaxy of great third basemen right now, you put Devers in there, Arenado, Chapman, Bregman. And, you know, there's this second deck that's got Eduardo Escobar, who shares a National League lead in RBI. Anthony Rendon leads all third basemen in OPS. Eugenio Suarez leads in home runs. Chris Bryant was an all-star again. I mean, they're everywhere, these third basemen. We're not even talking about Gio Urshela or Jose Ramirez or Yoan Moncada, Evan Longoria, Justin Turner, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Devers stands near the top along with Nolan Arenado. It was fun to see them both on the field in this game. But of all people who also shined in this one, we need to give him some love, it's Brock Holt. And we'll get to a little post-game interview with Brock in a moment. He earned it because he had 3 hits and also walked. And he was out there rocking the wristbands of Dustin Pedroia in front of the actual Dustin Pedroia. He came back. And actually, before we get to the Brock Holt postgame stuff, let's get to the Dustin Pedroia pregame stuff. We hadn't seen Dustin Pedroia basically in months. He's in Colorado to go see the specialist in Vail. First things first, he stops off in Denver just to say hi to his teammates. Wasn't doing any baseball activities, but, you know, he's on crutches. He's got a scooter to get around and all that. It's a little weird, but here he was before the game.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Had 2 more weeks on crutches, so... The surgery went real good, and you know, I'm just kind of recovering right now.
Is this surgery something you hope will allow you to play, or is it just for kind of quality of life?
I mean, we haven't really got that far. I mean, it was something that when they got in there, you know, there was a lot of, you know, I had some really big bone spurs that they had to take out. a lot of scar tissue, and I had to do a scar revision and then a bioplasty where they were drilling into the bones to try to strengthen them and things like that. So, when I got back home, I was hurting pretty good. So, I think once I stopped playing, it kind of, mentally you kind of try to relax, and then my knee just kind of was getting worse and worse. So, we had to do something. So that's kind of where we're at. And the doctor said the surgery went great. So it's just a matter of giving it time and strengthening the areas that, I haven't had a long period of time to do. So, once I do that, I'll know a lot more.
What's the best part for you about being back around these guys?
It's great to see everybody. I mean, I'm watching the games and, texting and FaceTime and things like that, but it's not the same. Just being around them for a few days is nice, just to talk to them, see what they're going through and things like that. So it's been fun.
You said before that you really didn't want to have another surgery, so I guess it just got worse enough where you needed it.
Yeah, it was tough, man. There was a couple of times, I threw batting practice with my kids, and then the next 3 days I was not moving. So, when you can't do things like that, it stinks. So we had to do something, and this was the next step. So, obviously going forward, throughout my life, I'm going to have more surgeries to on this knee. But, as of right now, hopefully this can buy me time for whatever it is that leads ahead.
Dustin, you're reading about the kind of surgery you had. They said it was something that they offer people instead of getting a knee replacement.
Yeah, it was similar. I like, it's different what I had than a subchondroplasty. They use, that's like cement.
Yeah.
Like the bioplasty I had, they inject PRP and like a bone matrix kind of thing. It doesn't harden. So that's why I'm non-weight bearing for 5 weeks and I have to be off it so it can heal. The other procedure is like you're 2 weeks and it hardens right away. But so that could burn a bridge to a knee replacement, which eventually I'm going to have. So at this point, I'm still young. I can't, it wasn't recommended to do that.
Dustin Pedroia cutting up in the clubhouse before the game. I mean, we just had his teammates in stitches. It was really nice to see that again, just telling stories and all of that. And not too many of them, even for a podcast, are really fit for repeating. I don't want to eavesdrop on him anyway and tell these stories out of school. I might ask him some other time on a different podcast. But, Pedroia returning to Colorado, where he had the breakout 3-home-run game back in 07. This was the same ballpark where they once wouldn't let him in because they didn't believe he was a ball player, too short and too young-looking. But all good things to Dustin Pedroia as he just tries to find himself some comfort now. And, he's not going to play again this year. Who knows if he'll ever play again. But certainly on the mind of his teammate Brock Holt throughout the evening. And we did talk to Brock after the game, that 10-6 win for the Red Sox. In Denver, you figured it was going to be a high-scoring affair because Denver. And sure enough, 10-6 the final tonight. A lot of heroes. Jackie Bradley Jr. among them hit one nearly 500 feet. That was impressive. Brock Holt didn't hit one out tonight, but he got on base 4 times. And since he's got the better radio voice, we're bringing him on. So, Brock, congratulations. Very nicely done tonight. And Denver's exhausting, isn't it? I mean, you just can't relax at this place.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it, before the game. We got to keep tacking on because no one's really ever out of it. So, showed it tonight. We were up 10-2 and ended up being, 10-6. So, it's a good place to hit, So, good offensive game for us. Our pitchers did what they needed to do, and we're walking away with a win.
Brock, maybe the tone set for this day overall when Dustin Pedroia shows up at the hotel. You were smiling ear to ear with Petey around. What did it mean to see Dustin back in town, in with the team?
Yeah, I've had this one, on the calendar, counting down. It's been a long time since we've seen him. So, whenever he got in yesterday, I went up to his room and we reminisced on the good times. So, it's always good to have him around. It's a little bit louder whenever he's around, but that's good. So, we've missed him and it's good to see him.
You've been repping the Dustin Pedroia wristbands this year. I know he has stayed near and dear to you and to the other guys, but What can you say just in terms of articulating what it means to have, even if he wasn't hilarious and great and cool and all of that, just to have a veteran guy around so that veterans like you don't have to do so much heavy lifting all the time?
Yeah, I mean, he's been the heart and soul of the Boston Red Sox for forever. So, regardless of his big personality and the type of player he is, he's got a lot of respect for everyone around the game, not just us. So, it's always fun to have him around, and we wish he could be around a little bit more, but he's trying to get that knee well. So.
Hey, Brock, is it hard at this ballpark to not alter your approach and swing at the plate?
This is really the first game I've ever played here. I came with the team in 13, but I never got in. So it's a big park. Yeah, the ball travels, but there's a lot of room in the outfield. So if you stick with your approach, there's a lot of hits out there. So, you see the ball flying, but it's also just a good place to hit because of how big the outfield is.
Last one for you, Brock, and you're going to hear this one a lot, and you've probably heard it already, this whole scoreboard watching concept, something you guys never had to do last year. I mean, not even for a minute. So do you find yourself kind of peeking and doing this little mathematical nonsense in your head, like if that, then this, or how difficult is it not to do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. I mean, every ballpark has the scoreboards out there, so we can see the games, and we know who's ahead of us. So, we take peeks, and we can't really focus too much on that because we got to do our job. And, if we don't win, it doesn't matter. So, we just got to keep trying to win as many games as possible. And, hopefully everything works out in the end.
All right, get some rest. Thanks for your time, as always, buddy. Appreciate it. Great
job
tonight.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there is the Brock Star, as it is now 8 of the last 11 in the win column for the Red Sox. And they gain a game on Tampa Bay. That's great, but they can't gain on the A's or the Indians. They both won on Tuesday as well. So they're two within 5 of Tampa Bay, and they've got 4 left head-to-head with Tampa Bay. I really think they're going to catch Tampa Bay. But can they catch Oakland? I mean, Oakland does have a tougher schedule coming up. Right now they're playing the Royals, and that doesn't help. But you got to catch Oakland or Cleveland, not just Tampa Bay, and that's the problem. 6 games out of a playoff spot with 29 to go now. And Alex Cora, certainly happy about the result, talked to the media after the game.
Fastball, his off-speed pitches, and keeping a very offensive team in check. Everything starts with command, and I do feel his fastball has been a lot better lately. You see the swings, and it's a little bit different than earlier in the season. Takes a lot of work, and between Dana and Banny and everybody that has to do with the pitching department, they've been working hard at it, and you can see the results.
You guys see a lot of home runs through the course of the year, but kind of what's the reaction when you see that ball, Jackie, the way Jackie?
I mean, first of all, good job by him attacking early in the count. He got a pitch to hit that he can handle and put a good swing on it, and obviously here the ball carries, but that was going to be no doubter anywhere. It was pretty impressive.
Are you surprised at where it landed?
Well, I play here. I think it was 0-2. Larry Walker against Jesse Orozco. He hit one. They used to have the section where they have the bars and all that stuff. They used to have a section up there with the blue line, and it was kind of like 5 rows short of the blue line. That was very impressive.
Jack, pretty good power tear lately. What have you seen from him?
I mean, with him, we all know it starts with one swing. He hits a home run the other way, and he starts getting locked in. But there's a few things he needs to do better. He knows it, cut down the strike zone, and keep controlling the strike zone. That's the most important thing. When he makes contact, it's loud, and he gives himself a chance. And, in San Diego the other day, he hit a line drive to short. It was right at him, but, I don't know what his batting average of bowling plays is, but it has to be pretty good.
Pretty surprised to see Xander swing at the first pitch. I know he's not really the first pitch guy, but
it's something I would love them to do because you see how they attack them, Mookie and Xander. They get ahead and they go from there. But the thing is that these two guys are such good hitters that it doesn't matter if they're up 1-0 or down 0-2. You know, they still trying to drive the ball. And but you know, he can take advantage of that. Mookie can do the same thing. It's something that we can push the guys out of the strike zone. But you know, they're comfortable with the way they do it. You know, it's not that I'm saying just swing. It's just I do feel like they can take advantage in certain situations.
All right, there is the manager. The Red Sox now 2-1 against the Rockies this year. They had lost 5-4 and 11 back at Fenway. That's the game where Sale struck out 17. They had won 6-5 in 10 innings at Fenway. That's when Chavis won it with a base hit up the middle. Boy, Chavis at this ballpark, can you imagine? I mean, if JBJ hits one 478, well, what can Chavis do here? But he's still rehabbing, still coming along. Hope to see him soon. We're going to see Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound in the Wednesday night game. He had a 10-strikeout game against the Rockies back at Fenway, and he's going to come in at 15-5 up against Peter Lambert, not Peter Lambert. I thought that would be cool. Yvon Lambert, was that the hockey player, the Montreal Canadien? Peter Lambert, I got him confused with Peter LaFleur of dodgeball fame. You know, he captained Average Joe's, as you might recall. But anyway, he's got a 6.4 ERA. He's only 2-4. Eduardo coming in at 15-5. That will be the Wednesday night game, and there'll be some chaos at the hotel. The Red Sox, as they check out, not only are the Pittsburgh Pirates going to be checking in because they come here for a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday series, but the Denver Broncos are going to be hosting the Arizona Cardinals Thursday night. So the Arizona Cardinals are strolling in. Kyle Murray and Starling Marte, they will be together for some weird reason at the Red Sox team hotel, just as the Red Sox are on their way out. And again, they will go play the Angels over the weekend, but first the one more game here in Denver. All right, so in the land of the 420, this is Josh Lewin signing off. No, I'm not partaking, even though it's legal. I've got podcasting to do. Although, wouldn't it be interesting if, I'm not saying like Joe Castiglione should stop by one of these cannabis joints, although the mind is boggled with that thought. I think next time the Yankees are here, you got to get John Sterling in there so he can really be high and far. That home run call will be, oh my God, can you imagine? Yeah, I'm gonna think about that as the music plays and we sign off. 10-6, Red Sox. This is Josh Lewin. Thanks for your time. Bye-bye.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.